Here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, we're here talking about car and car repair stuff and motorhome and what kind of fuel should I use in my lawn mower and what's the difference between synthetic and other oils. And my husband says this, and he's not correct. Sitting next to me is the person that I owe my entire knowledge base to.
Very funny.
It's my wife, Renee, and she's, you're not shopping on Saturday morning up in
Pine. I know. What is up with that?
I don't know. It must be too cold. You know, it was 16 degrees this morning.
I know. It's only 37 right now, so it's pretty cold.
We're up in Payson right now. We're up here making sure that the horses and the animals are just fine. And yesterday I worked hard. I did all the dishes while you were out playing. I just want you to remember that.
I've taught you well.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there's a good list of shops on my website, marksalem.com. These are really, really good shops. I have thoroughly investigated them. I know the owners. I can call the owners. I have their cell phones. So it's an important relationship. I'm proud to tell you, knock on wood, that we haven't had a complaint for a year and a half on any of the shops. And then that one that was a year and a half ago, we were able to settle it between the shop and the customer to both of their satisfactions.
Right.
So it was important to us, and it was something that was really nice with respect to us being able to take care of that. And one of the good shops, one of the best shops for diesels is Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. They're up on Pinnacle Peak Road and the I-17. They've been around for a long time. They have parts and a lot of information on their website, 24 hours a day. And Nate is the guy that, hey, why do we have a dog in the studio, huh?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, he sees a dog out there in the meadow, so that. Anyway, when you talk about diesel service and repair and parts, then you have to think of Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. And like I said, Nate's a great guy, and when you meet him, you'll understand exactly why I said that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I want to talk a minute just to talk about the Payson area and the housing issue.
Okay.
We've been looking for a house for some friends of ours and taking pictures of them and stuff. If you're thinking about coming up anyway to the Payson Pine area, and that goes for Tano Village and all the Christopher Creek halfway up the rim and all that kind of stuff, it's come to our attention that houses are selling within 24 hours. We saw one the other day, and between the time that we saw it on this portal that we've been able to have with the real estate agent, Lori Coleman, between that time and the time we decided to go see it, it was already pending.
I know. It's amazing.
And there,
and that's happened like 10 times at least.
And we're seeing them come on and go off the market, but we're also seeing them go off the market and then come back on the market.
Right.
And like that one that we looked for Bob, it was one of those that when we went and looked at it for them, there was a considerable amount of rot on the siding on the outside of the house. Now, it was a house that was certainly fixable. Mm-hmm. The price was good. It had all the amenities they were looking for, and they didn't want a big yard and stuff, but they wanted RV parking. But when you saw the wood, and then you saw the upper boards that had been painted with paint, but the wood had been stained 400 years ago, then I think that's why it came back into the market.
Yeah.
And I think it failed the inspection. Then there was another one that had an inspection, and they found out that some portion of the house had been built but never permitted. And then that's going to create a problem because this sunroom hadn't been permitted, so it's going to be a problem when you go to sell it and perhaps when you go to insure it.
Right. I think people are making offers and then going to look at it, and that's why it's fallen out or something like that, because they'll go pending, and then, like you say, they come back on the market, so...
And there's a big difference of what the pictures show in the ads and what the house actually looks like.
They make it look pretty darn good.
And they do. And this is our Chamber of Commerce for Payson conversation.
Okay.
The one that I looked at that yesterday when you didn't go with me was up near the airport. And it just had beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
This house looked like it had been inhabited by a college fraternity for the last 5 years.
Really?
It was unbelievable inside. I just remember the tracks on the windows. I wouldn't have bought it just for that. Okay. I mean, the trash in the tracks of the windows was just unbelievable. I could see Bob with a toothbrush cleaning all those tracks out.
Right.
It looked like a frat house. Mm-hmm. It really looked like it had been a frat house. It looked like somebody had just painted it up. Yeah. But I guess that's the way in every zip code. It's not just different here.
But up here, too, there's not a lot of codes, CC&R codes or whatever. So you can have a really nice house here, and then the next one is a, double wide junk
and
pile.
And you see some of that. There are some manufactured homes, but
right.
then they talk about site-built homes, and that's a term that I wasn't aware of until Lori told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's some that's half and half.
Right.
So there's a remanufactured home with some portion of a house built around it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen lots of stuff, but obviously there's some really nice stuff. We looked at those two houses yesterday that are just west of the Rim Club,
mm-hmm.
and those were really nice houses. They were kind of vacation homes and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. But we enjoy it up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold in the mornings through about, 2 months, 3 months?
Oh, no, I'd say
more.
4 or 5, yes.
I don't think it's 4 or 5. But anyway.
What's the heater set at in here?
Yeah. In here?
Yeah, I'm roasting.
Well,
go
turn it
down.
No,
I'm just teasing.
It's actually at 70 because I just put it at 70 because the window is open to the barn
mm-hmm.
and it's always cold. And I'm cold.
Oh, you poor little thing.
Yeah. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The two of us have been in business, in the car repair business, since 1979. Renee's managed the front counter. She's managed the raising the three kids. She's managed all the books, all the parts, payments, all that kind of stuff. And the front counter stuff is the thing I'm most proud of, because when there's a lady at the front counter, there's going to be a little hesitation when the guys come in.
Sure.
But when you start talking with them, or you ask them questions they can't answer,
right?
Then that creates this leveling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with Andy, our daughter, who's on the front counter now. It's just a matter of gaining their confidence.
Sure.
But here's the difference between men and women. I'm going to try this, okay?
Okay.
The guys come in and tell us what they want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
The women come in and tell us, well, I've got a problem, and then they give us the symptoms. There's a big difference on how we respond to that.
Right.
Because if they come in and they tell us, I want you to line the front end, and we go drive it,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't pull left or right, and we don't have any tire wear issues, then it's very difficult to call them back and say, why?
Right.
What is it we're trying to fix, because it doesn't pull left or right? Now, speaking of left and right, I had a customer comment with a customer the other day. He was concerned about why the alignment specifications were slightly out.
Okay.
And we're talking about 1 and 1.5 degrees.
Before or after we did work?
After we lined it.
Okay.
Because we give them a printout sheet.
Right.
And here's the reason, folks. The front end, we can make the car go left or right without tire wear.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy. But the roads in Phoenix are crowned. They're higher in the middle and they're lower so that the water runs off the road to the curbs and goes away into Never Never Land. So, and then the highways are flat,
mm-hmm.
and they're not crowned. So we have to align the car somewhere in the middle. So it's not uncommon for a shop to say to you, do you predominantly drive city or highway?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying, and especially if it's an alignment issue, or if they're going to align your car, then it's a matter of, well, I only drive in the city streets. Okay, we're going to pull the tires. We're going to change the tire angle just a little bit so the car goes straight down the road on a crowned road. So we're going to dial in a little bit of left push or left tilt or whatever, just a little bit of left into it so the car goes straight. Mm-hmm. However, if mm-hmm. you get on the freeway, it's likely to have that same little bit, and it's not going to violently pull you into the fast
right.
lane. It's just going to, so it's a predominant thing. Well, I only get on the freeway. Okay, we're going to get your thing flat.
Mm-hmm.
When you get on the crowned road, it's going to want to go right just a little bit. And most people don't even notice that because we're talking about 1 degree out of 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 or 2 degrees.
So that was what was wrong with his, or why we left it a little bit off.
Yeah. Because his wife had said that
mm-hmm.
she only drives on city streets.
Okay.
So we left it off. Well, we didn't leave it off.
Off.
We just, it's the, it, for instance, it's between 0 and 5. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then it's 0 to negative 5. Pretend that's the scale. And they wanted it 3.
Okay.
3 on the positive side. We may go 3 or 2 mm-hmm. or 1 on the negative side. So we're going to move it a degree or 2 just in order to get it to go down the road straight.
I gotcha. On.
Now, there's a lot of shops that don't do that. They have these fancy machines that put it on. The machine tells them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least a third of the shops out there that understand alignments and right. are able to do that.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I know we have a caller. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, oftentimes the problem that they think is an alignment is not an alignment.
Right.
It can be a tire that's causing a pull. It can be an inflation that's causing a pull. It can be a lot of things mm-hmm. that are. We had a wheel bearing not too long ago that was dragging hard and it was making the car go left. Well, when you drove it, you could just let go of the steering wheel. You could put it in a neutral on the car and make a left turn.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, we'll take the caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Gary.
Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you. Happy New Year.
And to you, too.
Going to be in the market for a couple of deep cycle batteries for our travel trailer.
Okay.
And I'd kind of like to treat them better than maybe I have in the past. What's your long-term upkeep on battery servicing for deep cycles?
First, let me tell you that it's funny you should mention that because the Gila County rescue team just asked me the other day for a deep cycle battery for their trailer that they take on rescues. And so I called the shop and I talked to the parts department, Jeff, and Jeff says, we've had great luck with the Delcos. Now, the Delco is an interesting battery because it has two round posts, but then it has the two RV threaded 3/8 posts. So you can put an I-terminal on it or you can put a battery cable on it. I'm just giving you that as an offer. As far as it's important to yo-yo the battery. You don't want to go out there and work in the RV for an hour and then plug the charger back in because you've not used a bunch of that battery. And we don't want it to mm-hmm. remember 90%, 100%, 90%, 100%. So we want to take it into a deep cycle, a deep, long draw. We're not going to take it till the lights go out inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're just going to use it. So, and then you're going to plug it into a trickle charger. Okay, you're not going to use a full blown battery charger that offers you 10 amps or 20 amps or 30 amps because that'll just smoke the battery. We want 2 to 5 mm-hmm. amps. And so, and then you're going to get this little plug-in battery charger that has a red light and a green light. and let me tell you the most important part of that. The fully charged battery is going to be around 13 to 14 volts. 13 to 14. The battery is in distress at below 11, the 10 to 9 range. 9.5 for sure. So you'll kind of figure out real quick. A lot of people will just bring it up to 13.2 or 13.8. Then they'll just disconnect it. You'll have to have a cheap voltmeter. But then you can go out there intermittently and you just keep testing the battery, maybe once a week. And as long as it's holding mm-hmm. that charge, then there's no reason to charge it. It's fine.
Okay.
So it's really a matter of yo-yoing the battery a little bigger than, oh, it went down to 0.2 volts. I'm going to charge it back up. Down 0.3 volt, and I'm going to charge it back up. That's what I believe to be a problem. Okay?
Appreciate that.
Okay.
One quick question on the battery again. If it's sitting for a long time in the summer and it's out in the sun on the battery or on the trailer, you recommend getting it off there for a few months and putting it in shade or in the garage and anything there or just leave them?
No, I'm more comfortable having it in an environmental controlled place. I mean, I'll put it on the nightstand next to my wife's bed. I try that and see what happens.
That probably won't work.
Yeah.
I'd probably just put it in the garage.
No, and you're right. And there's some old timers like me. There's really no science to this, but it's a comfort zone. Put it on a 2x8. Put it on a piece of plywood. Put it on something. And here's why. The cold concrete floor will affect the battery, not necessarily in a negative way, but certainly the charge. If you put an insulation of a piece of wood underneath it, we're going to eliminate that cold contact. So, yes. And then something else. When you pull the battery out, and I know we're running out of time here in just a second. When you pull the battery out, I want you to go get a can of 3M undercoating. 3M rubberized undercoating. I want you to mask off what you need, but I want you to just psst, 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 psst on the tray. And let it dry. That way, if there's any leakage of battery acid, it won't hurt you. and it's a great thing to use. And to be honest with you, we buy 3M undercoating by the case. We use it in battery trays. We use it in a lot of places on the car. So it's just a matter of that's a really nifty thing to have. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem along with my wife, Renee. I'm kind of on probation, so she says I've been acting up, so she decided to sit in the... You think you're sitting in the pilot seat, but you're really not.
Seriously.
This over here is the pilot seat.
Oh, I can reach the buttons.
Yeah, you can. There's only one you need to push, and we're off the air. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing's been in Mesa since 1970, but really that's this generation. The Thompsons and Vivian family has been in since the 60s. These are young men and women, husbands and wives and sons and daughters of those families. So they've been around a long time. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. It's the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend. There's lots of other shops in Mesa, and probably a lot of them are good. But they just don't pass, if they apply, they don't pass the criteria necessary to be on my best car repair shops list. Dan, you're up next.
Yeah, Mark, I have a problem with my passenger window. I mean, my driver's side window on a truck, a Tacoma. It catches on something, then it goes. It's electric, and it goes up, and it gets cockeyed. Is that a big deal? Or, you know, I'm going to get it fixed. What should I expect?
It just depends. I'll give you the good and the bad. We pull the door panel off, and clearly the regulator, which is a scissor device, is something's broken or bent in there. So sometimes we lost a rivet, which kind of leads, and I'll bet you can take your hand and you can guide the window up. And if that's the case, then the regulator just needs repair. We probably replace one out of every six or seven, and the rest we can fix. And we can fix it with the rivet, or we pull it out and we tack weld it, or we put a flathead screw in it, or something like that. As far as the time is concerned, you're going to spend no parts and just labor. You're probably going to spend $100 to $150. Are you going to agree with me?
Yeah, I would think so, because I know we charge a certain amount to pull off the panel and put it back on. But if you do the repair, that takes that down a little bit. So, yes, I would say that's... Right.
Because we don't know what's in there.
Exactly.
It's hard to bid the repair, but the on and off of the door panel. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm giving you numbers that are not just me. I'm trying to give you numbers of the shops I know well. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I give you a range, is because some of them are going to be 100 and some are going to be 150. So I'm giving you that range. But just if you can show them and tell them you want your old parts back. And if they wouldn't be so kind when they get in there and it's going to be something they fix, would you just take a picture of what's broken and then take a picture of your fix? That would just be great, because my wife wants that, and she's just real particular because she doesn't trust you auto repair guys.
And
that sounds good.
Yeah, and I think after, 10 years or something, it's probably just cheaper to replace the regulator while they're in there, or...
It just depends. Now, if the regulator's bent or wadded up, or the holes have been wallered out, then the answer's yes.
Yeah.
And so you have a 50-50 chance of a repair versus just replacing the regulator. Mm-hmm. So we pull the window all the way up, we take the regulator, we take it out, we put a new regulator in. I'm making it sound really simple. And then we put everything in, then we adjust it, and you're home free.
Right.
So that's kind of how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. Bob, you're up next.
Morning.
Good morning.
Do you see many cars come in with low-speed pre-ignition engine damage on GDI engine?
No. I don't know that we've ever seen any. Here's the key words here: low speed and pinging, and they don't necessarily go together. I'm not quite sure I've ever heard pinging with the throttle at idle speed or the throttle going down the road at 20 miles an hour, unless the thing is in terrible overheat distress. But it's pinging and pre-ignition is typically on load and throttle up. So could it be some other clatter? Could it be something like an exhaust leak? Does that ever go away?
I don't know. Because they recommend this new SP designation oil, you know, API SP, that's supposed to combat low speed, because I have a GDI engine, you know, a gasoline direct injection engine. And I wonder if I should use that SP, because it's supposed to combat low speed pre-ignition.
Okay, I'm confused.
But I don't know if it's just an overhyped thing.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Does it really happen?
I'm not... certainly you can put something in the gas tank. Certainly you can do that. And it's probably going to be a cheap, you know, I'll feel better. Or, but here's the real question. If you're going to put it in, if I'm going to work on your car and many other shops, I want to know if that made any difference.
But he said oil, not a gas, not
it's
in the gas.
Desert, it's oil. It's okay. Their newest, it's because they used to have SN, uh-huh. and then they had SN Plus,
yeah.
and now they have SP. Which okay. came out like about 6 months ago.
The differences between each one of those, and we started with SA at the very beginning, and I actually remember that time, is really insignificant. I'm not quite sure a pre-ignition problem is going to be fixed by messing with the engine oil. I don't understand that. Now, if we had piston slap, or if we had some other mechanical reason and we're creating a noise, I mean, this could be a valve clatter. This could be a lot of different engine noises, and I even ask about an exhaust leak because that's a very common one that people completely misrepresent. And the key on that one is it happens when it's cold and it goes away when it's hot. But I'm just, you've got nothing to lose. Change the oil and put some SP in it or the SP Plus or whatever you spoke about. It's going to be a synthetic, I think. And you can certainly put it in there and run it 5,000 miles and see if it makes a difference. But I can't imagine why it would.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
You betcha. GDI, pre-ignition. I got to write it down so I remember what Bob and I talked about.
No, that was, well, Dan had the pre-ignition
No, he had the window
okay.
regulator.
I
got it written down.
Okay.
You know, I've been doing this since 1988 without you.
I got the two.
No, no, that was Bob. I even recognized Bob's voice.
Really?
Yeah.
He's called before?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. It's 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
This next thing, you take all the calls.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
But the front counter stuff's kind of important because it's a matter of ask, give, and take.
Right.
It's a matter of getting the guys to answer the questions. Mm-hmm. The ladies will always answer the questions. Just like I said, does this happen cold in the morning and go away when it's hot?
Right.
Exhaust leak, tick, 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 tick. Mm-hmm. Okay? Those are the kinds of, does this vibration, because the guys will come in and tell you what to do, and you know this is going to turn ugly.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to bid it at $300. I'll do what you asked me to do. Okay, $300 later, he comes back and he goes, I still have the problem. And then the question is you diagnosed it. Mm-hmm. I wrote in there, customer says to do this.
Right.
And so it's difficult. If we can just have a conversation at the front counter, this is every shop in the world. That really behooves us and them. Mm-hmm. Just what's it doing? Cold or hot, fast or slow, whatever. 602-508-0960. Minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, Mark Salem with my wife, Renee. We've been in the car repair business since 1979 together. We were both 5 years old. We were kind of young. So if you'd like to join us, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're just sitting here during the break, and mm-hmm. I am teaching Renee about the buttons. And I said, now this is your button, and when it's not flashing green or red, then you're off. You can pick your nose or do whatever you want to do. So I said, but you turn it to green, but if you go too far, it's red. Mm-hmm. And she says, you just turned me on. And then we hear Gil going, whoa, wait a minute. And Gil's our engineer
uh-huh.
and our producer. And
right.
Him and I have been together a long time. And we've met once, but we can just read one another.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just read one another.
Yep.
602-508-0960. The line's wide open. So get to the phone right now. Automatic transmission exchange, Phil specifically has been around since 1968. 1968, Phil started working on transmissions, which is the old Power Glides and some of the old Fords and certainly the old Cadillacs. Some of those transmissions that I've not done anything to other than change the fluid and the filter, but he has. They have the fundamentals back then that we did with the throttle. We made it shift with the throttle and vacuum. Today we're using a computer that looks at, lots of parameters and decides when to shift from second to third. So it looks at speed, it looks at the ambient temperature, it looks at the RPM, it looks where your foot's at, it looks like where the engine is ready, what's the load, all that fancy stuff. Well, Phil can do that too. So if you're looking for a good transmission shop, Central Phoenix Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. What were we going to say?
Oh, I just had a thought about those deep cycle batteries. They don't have water in them anymore. Most batteries don't.
So they're sealed.
They're sealed. They're sealed. So you don't have to worry about anything like that on the deep cycles.
You're right, except this.
Okay.
And you bring up a good point. If you find that the top of the battery is sweating and is wet,
okay,
then what you do is you just take your finger and run it across the sweat and touch it to your nose.
Okay.
Okay. If your nose starts burning, you're overcharging the battery because that's acid. And I'm being facetious.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And so you, when you're cooking the battery at that point, and the battery should never be really hot to the touch.
Okay.
And that's why I was specific. You plug this little square box in. Hopefully it has a red and green light.
Mm-hmm.
And that little box is maybe capable of 5 amps.
Okay.
Now, a friend of mine called me the other day, and we were dealing with the deep cycle and that rescue trailer and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't understand what he was saying. So he says, I'm just going to send you a picture of the charger.
Okay.
This charger was really sophisticated. You had to know which button. There were so many different options.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pick the battery and deep cycle and low maintenance and sealed. And then you pick the charging rate. And then you pick this and you pick that. And then you wave a dead chicken around your head and you honk your horn twice. All this stuff.
Wow.
It took me 10 minutes looking at this picture. And I go, on the left button, push it. Keep pushing it till you hit 12 volts.
Okay.
And then on the right side, push it until it says 2, which was amps. But this thing went to 20.
Really?
So we didn't want to cook a battery.
Right.
What's the difference between a deep cycle and a car battery?
You know, that I don't know. But
are
remind
you kidding?
Me, because I want to ask you about the trickle. I don't know the difference is. I know I've heard it before, but I...
Okay. So you're admitting there's something you don't know?
Yes.
Okay. A deep cycle battery has a little bit of electricity for a long period of time. So they use it in the trailer. They turn on a 12-volt light.
Mm-hmm.
The most it's going to draw is 3 amps, if that.
If it's
LED, it's 1.
Okay.
So the chart, the voltage, drops down just a little bit, but it goes on for a long time. A car battery has to give all it's got when it starts.
Okay.
So it has to turn itself, so to speak, inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So the amp draw of the deep cycle can be 10 amps. The amp draw of a car and a truck battery, especially a diesel, can be 200 amps during the cranking the cranking mode. Then you turn on the air conditioning and all that other kind of stuff. Now we're at the 30 and 40 amp range.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking and giving and taking and giving. So the answer to your question is in a motorhome application, it's a small amount of electricity over a long period of time.
Okay.
Deep cycle.
Okay.
Okay.
So it doesn't, because you don't have an alternator to charge it up or anything else that's charging it back up.
It depends.
Okay.
Because if you have your truck hooked up to your trailer, right, especially if it's got the 7-pin bargeman connection, there is a hot wire in there from the truck or the car. That hot wire fluctuates with the voltage on the alternator and the battery.
Mm-hmm.
So normal voltage goes between 12 and 14 volts. So if the battery is static, keys in your pocket, it's 12 volts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
But when you charge it, it should go up to 12.5 or 13, like I said.
Okay.
So if you're plugged into your car, you're charging the battery all the time. The car is on. All the time that you're connected to the car, you're getting battery from the car.
I see.
But there's some, we looked at that motorhome the other day that had how many solar panels on the roof.
Right.
And that guy's using solar panels to charge his battery. So there's a variety of ways, but the rescue guys, they were going to put solar panels on it, but I suggested they just hook the trailer to the truck, and then they have the benefit of both.
I see.
So 602-508-0960. We're pretty good with RVs. We've been RVing since
88 or something like that.
We had the Winnebago was the 88.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been RVing for a long time.
Yeah.
We've gone to all 49 states. We've traveled every road east and west from 5 on the bottom, 10 actually on the bottom, upwards to 80 or 90 on the top. And then from the west coast, the north and south road is number 1. Everybody knows that. But on the east coast, it's 95.
Mm-hmm.
We've traveled all of those. So we have a lot of... We've done a lot in a motorhome.
Yes.
We fought.
Mm-hmm.
We yell at one another.
Yep.
I'm outside saying, push the button, and you don't push the button, and so I get mad at you. And
I'm telling you which way to back, and you go the opposite way. And
It's not fun. I tell you to push the button, and then you do, and nothing happens, and I get mad, and I go inside. You're on the stove, and I want you on the refrigerator.
Oh, very funny.
So, anyway, 602-508-0960. We're kind of lonesome, so you ought to jump in. We have 5 lines. You got one in, right now, you're 100%.
they like to wait till the second hour.
Now, that's
right
true.
Toward the end.
That's true. That's true. We'd really load up the last 20 minutes of the second hour. But we're going to be here till noon. 602-508-0960. Well, it's 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem, my wife Renee, sitting here flying wing with me. She didn't have anything else to do today, so she thought, well, I'll just work with Mark and make him behave himself.
I'll just bug him to death.
Yep. Folks, the shops that I call my best shops are geographically located. That's the reason why a lot of times I say, where do you live, is I send you to the shop close by. They all make me a hero, but Kurtz has made me a hero a couple of times, because when I send a tough problem to a shop and they fix it, sometimes I get more accolades than the shop does when it's really them. Mm-hmm. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't already have a repair shop, or you want to try the new one, Kurtz Auto's been around since 1987. He does gas and diesel. He has ASC certified technicians. And between Kurt and Eric, both of those are Hank Aaron kind of guys when it comes to auto repair. Kurtz Automotive. Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. I have a problem with a smart key. My car decided all of a sudden that it cannot find the smart key, so I had to plug the remote under the dash so I could drive the car home. Do you know anything about smart keys?
Yeah, yes, I do. This is ironic because I was talking to what's-his-name the other day. Have you got your pencil handy?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, there is a difference, and I hesitate to use the word significant, but there's a difference between the arena of the dealership and the independent guys. You should say, Mark, do you have an independent guy that deals with key fobs and cutting the new chipped keys? And the answer is yes. Does he come to your shop? The answer is yes. Has he done a good job? The answer is yes. Can he reprogram two new keys and fobs? The answer is yes. But I don't know his name right now.
Yeah, I can't think of it either.
And so I want you to call 480-598-1234. And ask for my son, Alan, or Andy, my daughter. And just say, your dad said that you would give me the name of the guy that can handle key fobs and chipped keys. And then you call him up and talk to him, okay? What's your charge? And I think he's got a flat fee to get to your house, and then it depends on whatever it is. But I can tell you, with respect to the financial aspect of that, of those kind of repairs, we and you will get a much better deal, I'm walking carefully here,
okay,
than any other place you're probably going to think about going.
Okay, I got it.
Okay?
Okay. Well, I wouldn't think about going to that place. But, is this anything I can fix myself, or do I have to go to an expert for it?
Go ahead.
I know. And the funny thing is I've had trouble with mine lately, in the cold for some unknown reason, and I don't know what that is, because sometimes it'll work fine and sometimes it won't see my key, but I've not had to use the other key to get home. So
a word there that hit hard on me, cold.
Right.
Batteries that are weak,
right,
the cold will affect them. So let's change the battery in your key. You live with the car guy.
I know, and I did change the battery finally, and that did help, I think. So that might be one thing you'd try first, is change that key fob battery.
Yeah. And just be careful when you take it apart.
I did that.
Okay. Then you probably need
to. Yeah, I did that.
Okay. You're going to have to call him.
I actually changed the battery in my key fob, and I got my second key fob, and it won't recognize either of them. Is there like a module that thing communicates with, a special module?
Yes, I'm going to say to you, I know that this is so impossible for us guys with testosterone, but just check your owner's manual, because sometimes that information is in there where you've got this fob problem, and literally, you hop in the car, you do this with the key, you honk the horn three times, you yell Geronimo four times, you slap the windshield, and I'm being as silly and as stupid as I can, and then all of a sudden you do this. Now, I know another thing is disconnect the battery, let it sit for a half an hour, reconnect the battery and see what happens. That's kind of a reboot on a computer.
I did all that.
Okay.
I did all that. I did everything. I even did the routine where you push the lock button five times and all that stuff. None of it worked. I disconnected the battery. I even connected the two terminals together after it was disconnected to try to discharge any any kind of a memory in there. Mm-hmm. Still didn't work.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, you're going to need, and I wish I could remember his name, but you're going to need him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know we have
but anyway,
some
Alan and Andy can certainly tell you, and I'm going to put that T-O-T, the S-E-A. Okay, Nick, thank you. Marty, you're up next. How can I help you, Marty?
Hi, Mark. Yeah, so I've never had a motorhome, but if I'm looking at used Class Ds, gas pilots, what's a lot of mileage for them? Like, is 25,000 equivalent to like 100,000 in a car? Is there any kind of correlation like that?
No, I'm more worried about what year it is. I don't care about the mileage.
No, I like that.
It's a 97. Is that what?
No, there's nothing specific. There's nothing specific yet I'm looking at.
Okay.
Just kind of a general question when I start looking.
Okay, well, first of all, motorhomes, usually the engines will last a long time unless you abuse them, because when you get in the motorhome, you don't go to Circle K, then you don't go to the bar, and then you don't pick up your wife from work in a motorhome. So when you get them, you travel hundreds of miles at a time. With respect to the life of an engine, I've seen them with 300,000 miles. I don't know that I'd be real worried about that. We're looking for a motorhome ourselves right now. I'm looking at this. I want to find the original owner. I'd like to buy it from him. I want to see all of his maintenance records. I want to drive it. I want him to fill it up with water in the black and the gray and the fresh water. I want them all full. I want to drive it to see if any of them leak. I want to run the generator, and I want to make sure the generator starts and runs. I want to make sure all of that goes on. And I mean, there's 10 more things I could talk about. But you also, we do motorhome checkouts, and what I just told you is what we do. Bring the owner and have him fill up all four water tanks, black, gray, and white, and then drive it here, because we'll shake that motorhome around, and if there's any leaks in those tanks, we'll find it. Then we're going to go through a process of dumping and draining and checking the generator, checking the motor, checking all the electrical, all that kind of stuff. Does the generator make 120, and is the sine wave right? We have electronic ignition that has all this, or not electronic ignition, electronic devices that has all this information in them. And so it's a matter of, it's a kilohertz. We're looking for a kilohertz number, and I don't remember what that is.
Okay.
But we're plugging it into a wall socket. We start the generator, and then we adjust the generator to give us the kilohertz that we want. 50 or 55, I can't remember. But the answer is now those motorhome examinations can run you $200 or $300.
Mm-hmm. And so, but it's probably worth it, because if you get a bad one, it's not going to be fun.
And I would also do a Carfax on the VIN number, because here's the deal. It was traded in, then it was sold, then it was traded in, then it was sold. That's going to be bothersome to me, because somebody didn't like it, or somebody didn't think it was what they wanted, or there's a variety of reasons.
What do you think is the better engine, the Ford V10 or the General Motors 6.8 or whatever?
You're really putting me in a spot.
Oh, then it's the Ford, I can tell you that much. You know, he hates to recommend that.
No, I will say this.
No, I'm teasing.
It has to be the Ford. It has to be the Ford, because the chassis is better. You'll do far less front-end work on them. And the Chevrolet chassis is not as good. The Ford is much better. And all the drivetrain and drive gear is going to be slightly better than the Chevrolet. And there's going to be a lot of people that argue with me, but they don't have, what have we got, 300,000 miles behind the steering wheel of how many motorhomes we had? Five, six?
Yeah.
Since 1978. So I would stick with the Ford if I were you. But more important, the original owner, all the maintenance records, all the sales documents in a three-ring notebook, every gallon of gas that he's put in it, every repairs that he's made. Phew, he's
not everybody's like you, though, dear.
I know, but there are some guys out there that
are.
But if you find that guy with that kind of stuff, and then negotiate with him. And then just throw a number out there and just say, you know, let me throw this number at you and you give me a call and let me know. I don't need an answer right now. And he's going to talk to his wife and she's going to say, take it. And he says, I'm going to ask for a little bit more. And that's what goes on behind the scenes, because that happens at our house.
That's right.
So anyway, good luck on your motorhome. The best times we've had has been in a motorhome with our kids and the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We have had so much fun in motorhomes, and we traveled every summer. So anyway, thank you very much, Marty. Mary, you're up next.
Hi, Mary. Or hi, Mark.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy New Year.
And to you too, ma'am.
So I did a very stupid thing. I have a 2005 Dodge Caravan. I just got it and doesn't have the book in it, so I didn't look. I mean, I couldn't look. And I just saw this big knob in front and thought, oh, that's the brake fluid. It wasn't. It was the power steering. And so I put brake fluid in the power steering container. And I drove it a little bit, and now my mechanic has drained it all. But I'm wondering what damage I might have done, or do I flush the system? What do I do now to
But he already flushed it, though, right?
Well, he drained it. He hasn't flushed it. He drained it.
Okay.
I'm thinking we should flush it.
Okay. And the power steering reservoir has a couple of lines. It's got a pressure and a return, and the return's a low-pressure line. And most of us gray-haired guys would have taken the return line off and pointed it towards a 5-gallon bucket, and we would have had somebody else pouring power steering fluid into the reservoir, and we'd start the motor, and we'd turn the steering wheel left and right, and we'd exercise the pump, and we'd do that for about 60 seconds, and then we'd shut her down and be done. But I often tell people to put a tablespoon or two of brake fluid in their power steering pump because it swells up seals. So if you've got a little bit of a leak in your power steering system, a couple of teaspoons of brake fluid in the power steering is not a bad idea. You're real worried about this, and frankly, I'm not. So I do think that we should flush it. I do think, but how many miles are on the Caravan?
123,000.
Okay. If there's any brake fluid left, I wouldn't care. And I don't think you're going to have any ramifications over this. And here, I want you to change your story slightly, okay? Are you with me?
Okay.
I got this Caravan, and my husband decided to go outside and be Henry the mechanic. And he ultimately put brake fluid in the power steering reservoir. Okay? I need you to practice that, okay?
Okay.
And here's why, because the guys always blame the women.
Yeah.
They always blame. But in your particular case, how many days and how many miles have you driven it since you did this and it's been removed?
I haven't driven it since, but I drove it maybe, 50 miles or so.
Okay.
With it, that condition, but.
He could also, we have these suck machines where we suck liquid out of stuff. He could also just stick the suck machine and he'd start it up and he'd turn the steering wheel, what we call lock to lock, all the way to the left, all the way to the right, all the way to the left. And he does that a couple times. He sucks it out of the reservoir. He shuts it off. He puts a new fluid in, and that's going to be 99% good.
And what do you think the cost is on that? Because maybe he's quoting her a whole bunch of money to flush out the system because he might be scaring her, or I don't know.
Okay, Mrs. Front Counter Lady.
I'm
thinking about
this.
Tell me the parameters you'd use.
What, for a transmission flush?
No, not tranny, power steering.
A power steering
and
flush.
And that whole thing holds about a quart.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd say, 75 to 125, somewhere in there.
And I would have said the same thing.
Okay.
All right? Because I'm figuring 75 is like 3/4 an hour for these guys. And,
right.
And so the answer is yes. How much did he charge you to do what he already did?
I'm not sure. I've just got a friend that, or a man that takes care of my vehicles. And, okay.
So you haven't got a bill yet?
I'm sure. Well, I'm not sure what he charged me. I don't think it was too much, but I have another question about this Caravan.
Okay.
So when I got it, it had some issues. It had been abandoned, and I got it. And so it drives fine. The transmission thing, it goes, and it just seems just fine. But when I first start it up or when I idle at the stoplight, it's kind of rough. And so I put it in neutral, and it seems to be much smoother. So does that sound like an engine problem or a transmission problem?
Neither one. You've been talking to your husband again, haven't you?
A motor mount.
Yeah, bingo. Bingo.
Yeah, and I thought about that too, a motor mount.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you how to I got to go in just a second here, but I'm going to tell you how to diagnose it, okay? In the morning when it's making that, I want you to put it into drive and feel it. Then I want you to put it into neutral, and you said it already goes away. Then I want you to put it into reverse, and it should go completely away. So if there's a change between drive, neutral, and reverse, Don't tell Renee, but she's right about a motor mount. Okay?
That's it. That's how you check it.
Okay.
That's the diagnostic process for a motor mount. So you can do it yourself.
Good. I was afraid it was a tranny.
No,
okay, good.
No, not at all. Anyway, that's it. I got to go, though. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And let me say it again one more time. 602-508-0960. Mark and Renee Salem at your service. We'll be back with another hour of fun and frivolity.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're here talking about cars and car repair problems, and you just couldn't get a better ASE master technician to answer
you. But you do need to learn how to count, because I think when you said, make sure they fill up the four tanks, and you only said black, gray, and fresh, that's only three, dear.
Oh, yeah? How about the gas tank?
No. Oh, you've been thinking about that for 3 or 4 minutes,
haven't
have, you?
No. I have. And you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. It makes no sense to fill it. I'm looking for leaks, as you well know.
Yes,
and so
exactly.
When you stuff those tanks, mm-hmm. the worst thing you can do is fill up the black water tank, which is the poop tank and the shower tank and the sink tank, and then all of a sudden you go on your trip and you find out that at a half it starts puking all this brown stuff all over the ground.
Yeah.
You're gonna
yeah,
be mad at yourself.
Fun.
So that's why we said that if you're going to check out a motorhome.
Yep.
Larry Harker's Auto is up at 38th Avenue in Indian School, been around since 1967. Ellen runs the front. Bob runs the back. And they've got a kid named Jeremy there that absolutely is one of the most qualified technicians I've ever met. He has more certifications than I do. He has a tremendous skill in diagnosing things, and he's bailed me out of a jam a couple of times over the last 2 or 3 years. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. And do I have any other cleanup that I need to do?
No.
Okay.
I think that might be it. I'll
okay.
keep track, though,
keep,
in case
yeah.
we need to fix anything else.
Okay, just jump right in there. John, you're up next. How can I help you?
I got a 06 Nissan Titan, two-wheel drive. Has 193 on it. What 193,000? When I'm up in my favorite hunting area and I'm going kind of uphill with some really rocky, a lot of rocks in the road, I every once in a while I'll get this loud and vibration. I think in the back. I put on the brakes and it ends quickly, ends right away. If I try and go, I'll kind of. It does it again, but then I go downhill, it's fine. And now I drive all over town, it's fine.
Okay.
Just wondering what you guys think.
Well, let me think out loud here. A drive shaft, under load, you're going uphill, and that's under load, but it's not going to spin. It's not going to make a noise. And let me ask you a question. The noise seems to be related to the speed of the engine or the speed of the vehicle.
You know, it's vibrating so much because I'm going slow up these hills.
Yeah.
Up these forest roads. You know, I know what roads I can, what a two wheel drive can get up, and these I can get up, but it just kind of.
Okay, well, that's a question you're going to need to answer.
I wonder if the differential.
Well,
I'm wondering.
No.
I'm slipping or.
No.
I don't know.
No. Trust me, if the differential was chattering, there'd be some teeth missing, and it'd make a hell of a noise all the time.
All the time.
Up and
okay.
down and left and right and everything else. So, no, it's not a differential. I don't know, but when you go uphill, you're loaded up pretty tight. Now, I know this is silly. Is it possible the noise is coming from in front of the windshield?
No, it feels like... You know, I've listened to you before. It feels like it's behind me.
Okay. And if that's the case, you said one thing. When it happens, I want you to keep your right foot where it's at, and I want you to gently apply the brakes. I'm wondering if the brakes are chattering. Another thing you could do, too, is as soon as it happens, keep your right foot on and then gently apply the parking brake. That's only the rear end. But if it came on, the reason I ask you if it's in front of the windshield is if it's got a broken motor mount, the fan will hit the shroud. and you're under load. You're under tremendous load when you take that Nissan up the hill. So that's why I ask you. Roll down your window, make sure it's coming from the back, and if it's coming from the back and you apply the brakes and it goes away, then that's the place I'd be looking.
But he did say it went away with the brakes.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
If he applies the brakes and it goes away, I'd be looking at the brakes.
Okay.
So, well, good luck to you, John. Did I do okay there, honey?
Yes.
Did I explain it to your satisfaction?
I think so.
Okay. Do you have any trouble with the front camera? Oh, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Do you handle the front counter?
Not much anymore.
Okay, but
I'm not
you used
there,
to.
But
I mean,
used to.
You used to since 1979.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the biggest problem?
Well, usually they'll look behind me and say, can I talk to that man? That kind of gets you wanted. Although it has changed more over the last few years, but it was that way a lot.
Okay.
They didn't want to talk to a woman.
And you're right. It's always been that way.
Right.
But I had a lot of compliments on you. And I said, she's my wife. She's been around this business for a very long time. She's and more important, what you had and what Andy, our daughter, has that's running our shop, you have experience where you saw the symptoms and then you saw the repair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have.
Right.
And that's something that's very important. I noticed that our daughter, Andy, she now talks to them on the appointment when they call in and make an appointment. And she's typing everything they say.
Yeah, you do. Right.
But we didn't. Okay, we used to type it in the appointment, but we didn't transfer that necessarily to the work order. And so when I see her now cutting and pasting or transferring it, maybe she had that done on the last time, but it ends up on the work order. It's really cool because everything that conversation was about is now documented on the work order. And see, the work order should say, this is what the customer said, this is kind of what we did, and this is how we found it, and this is how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
The work order should talk to everybody that's reading it without the telephone.
Right.
We should have what we did, what we were looking for, what the customer said, how we found it, and then we test drove it, and that's the most important part. The part that customers don't do that I tell them to do and they don't think it's important is ask for your old parts back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to ask for your old oil filter and gas filter for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But here's why. Let's say that they put a $400 mass airflow sensor on your car, and there's lots of these kinds of things, to fix this check engine light, but then you drive it and 2 days later the check engine light comes on, you take it back, it's the same code. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't get it. So if you have the old part in your trunk, you can say nicely, can we put the old part back in and start over?
Mm-hmm.
And will you give me like a credit for the, well, let's just get it fixed, but I'm going to ask for a credit for that $400 mass airflow sensor. And maybe you can kind of blend the diagnostic process on the first visit to the second visit, you know, just kind of that kind of a thing, because that's why you ask for the old parts back.
Yep. And most of them are small like that. It'll fit in the trunk, and you can leave it there, and it's not going to make a difference.
And it's in the original box,
right?
And it has a part number on it, and so all that information is there.
Yeah,
we do that all the time. I mean, Daryl came in the other day, and they put all of his front end parts in the back of his truck, and he says to me, "Why do I have all those? You want me to haul your trash away?"
Yeah.
And I said, "No. If you look at the sockets and the balls and sockets on those, they're all worn out.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to see why you had a knock knock when you turned the steering wheel left and right." So you can see it, and especially on the track bar, because one bushing's bad and one bushing's good, you can see that.
Right.
Then the tie rod end.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that you want to do. And when you're talking to them on an estimate, you call for an estimate. You say, "Hi, Mrs. Salem. I've had a chance to look at your car, and it's going to take a motor mount to fix your vibration." Go.
Okay, and if it doesn't fix the vibration?
Yeah, then we're going to have to punt.
Right.
And we're going to have to decide. But you can say, so let me get this straight. You're going to fix my vibration by replacing the motor mount.
Right.
That's the important part that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And were you able to get to verify the vibration? Because that's an important... No, I haven't. Well, then is this a guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
And take a drive with the customer or
whatever. Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I can't tell you. The other day we had a guy come in, and it's always a guy... And he's headed to 5 alignment shops and this and that. And the story goes on and on and on. So Andy pulls off Ron and says, go take a ride with him.
Mm-hmm.
Ron comes back and says, I can fix this in 15 minutes. I already looked at his alignment sheets, plural, because he's had it aligned a variety of places. And he says, I can already fix this pull. And so he goes into the shop. He comes back 10 minutes later, and he hands the guy the keys, and he says, let's go for a ride. The guy goes, it's fixed. What'd you do? He goes, I took the left front, put it on the right front.
Yeah, swapped the front tires. Yeah.
He says the alignment specs were perfect. Mm-hmm. He says the only thing that could cause the pull is what we call a radial pull. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the shop should have known that. So when you have a pull, you look for abnormal wear. You go drive it and verify the pull. And the very first thing you do is check the inflation of both front tires and swap them. And if the pull goes away, you're done.
Right.
So it's that, and that's why it's important for a customer to say, I can verify the problem. Now, Monday mornings and Friday afternoons, this ain't going to happen. But any other time, I can make this happen. Do you think it would be beneficial for you to send someone out? And I can, I'm not going to have them for more than 10 minutes. I can do it by going around the block. Mm-hmm. Because you aren't going to take our technician for a 1 hour ride halfway to Tucson at mile marker 228 because it makes the noise then.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
It's got to get more consistent to...
Yeah, to find. Yeah. And sometimes we say in a lot of other shops that you have to wait till it gets worse and easier to find. Right. That's all there is to it. Yeah. You got to wait till it gets worse.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of transactions we have at the front counter. But I'll tell you, I think you already know this, I'm really proud of our daughter, Andy. She gets there early in the morning. She actually handles the upstairs. So she handles all the money and all the accounts payable. She does all the – she's the CEO and CFO. She handles all that. Our son, Alan, handles the shop and the operations part of it. But Andy says, I really like to be at the front counter.
Oh, she does.
And she says it's just so much fun to talk to the women and talk to the men. She says it's a little tough. You have to be careful and walk softly when you're talking to the guys. And I said, so give me an example. And she says, well, I've been here long enough to say, I know what they're going to ask you. So let me ask you, is the vibration in the seat of your pants or your steering wheel? Mm-hmm. And so that'll elicit the answer, appropriate answer.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of a thing. And the women are comfortable with someone. And her last name is Salem, you know, so it's pretty easy conclusion to come.
Right.
But the one thing that, by the way, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
1 minute.
It's, what's on her business card is just something that I just absolutely love. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love. It says, Andy Salem, CEO, CFO. And then on the right underneath it, it says, full-time babysitter. For the men at Salem Boys. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yep, that's the truth.
And it is the truth. And if everybody who reads that, it elicits a laugh and a smile and stuff like that. Well, it does a couple things. She really does have the ability to deal with those kinds of issues. And that to some extent, she's a babysitter because we're blessed, but we don't have a problem but once a year between two technicians or whatever. So we're blessed about stuff like that.
Yeah.
But she is the tiebreaker.
Right.
She is the tiebreaker.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you a real quick story when we come back. The story starts like this. We're on our way back into town, or we're coming up north, and Andy calls you and says, Mom, what the hell did you... order from Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Renee is, her Amazon card wears out about every month, so they send her a new one. But Andy says, Mom, you can't imagine. What did you order? We're going to have the entire shop involved in this. Yeah. And so we don't know what's going on. And Renee says, I don't think this is my, anyway. So when we come back, I'll tell you the end of that story. It's working. It's working. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Welcome back, everybody. Mark and Renee Salem at your service. Renee's my wife. We've been married 427 years, and we'll be married forever and ever, I think. Nevertheless, we've both worked together on cars, and Renee's handled the front counter many, many times. So I think we're both well qualified to handle the kinds of things. Let me just talk about Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom, I've known him since 1983. All these guys, I've known them for a very long time. So no matter what kind of quality workmanship you want, if you want somebody with excellent customer service, a fast turnaround time, and you want technicians that are ASE Master Certified, which is kind of like a PhD in auto repair, then Action Auto's at I-17 in Deer Valley, and you want to talk, go right ahead.
Oh, well, two things. You were going to finish that Amazon story, which... Oh. is pretty funny, actually,
okay.
because I have been known to get a package or two from Amazon.
Nice of you to admit that. Okay, so Andy calls us, and I think we're coming down from Payson.
I don't remember.
And we're coming into town.
Okay.
And Andy goes, oh, Mom, she says, I mean, there's Amazon trucks everywhere. So I'm mad,
yeah.
and you're laughing.
Right.
We pull in. Now, folks, next door to our auto repair shop is a car wash, a four-bay self-serve car wash. And my daughter had new signs made for everything, and she changed it from Salem Boys Car Wash to Salem Girls Car Wash.
Yep.
So we get there, and inside the car wash, there has to be at least 16 to 20 Amazon vans.
Right.
And there's four bays.